Happy training camp eve, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this late night Tuesday edition of the show. Couldn't get on the microphone until my overnight radio shift, but I'm here. I'm with you guys once again because now that the season's getting going consistently now throughout the year, we'll be going 4 to 5 episodes a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm without Gino today. I'm riding solo. He's going to be back tomorrow for CB Wars. We wanted to do that live and in person, and with training camp starting tomorrow, we thought that would be a good one to really get going with not a lot of other crazy, you know, unknowns at other positions. That's going to be a fun episode to do tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. And consistent coverage of training camp. The Eagles report tomorrow to NovaCare Complex. It really feels like, you know, the night before Christmas Eve when you were a kid, or it's kind of the same as the day before week one. You get that feeling, you know, that excitement. Football is here and the wait is finally over. And we actually, while it's just training camp, I love to go through and see the beat reporters doing play-by-plays. I mean, eventually we'll be down there as well here on Locked On Eagles, but still being up here in Buffalo, growing up as an Eagles fan outside of Philadelphia, loved tracking the play-by-play throughout each practice and seeing the highlights and, you know, the press conferences and just the build-up to the season is something that I really enjoy as a fan. So we're going to have you covered, though. We're going to have a camp tracker each and every day giving you the winners and losers of each practice session. We'll go through some of the play-by-play of the offense and defense, the 11-on-11s, and also continue to track each positional battle as we go on until we get to the preseason in a couple weeks and then the regular season, and we are full go on a hopeful Super Bowl run for the Philadelphia Eagles. As for today, what we are going to get into is kind of a mini preview for a training camp. We've gotten into, you know, here with the podcast, we like to go into specific topics each and every episode. So, you know, a broad camp preview isn't something really I'm interested in, considering I feel like we've gone through every aspect of it during this dead period from mini camp's end until now. But we are going to get into some things today. Positional battles, I do want to kind of get you everything in a nutshell, prepare you for tomorrow, because tomorrow the chaos starts, and then like I said, we are full go throughout the season, and then it's just a roller coaster ride. Get maybe some players for you to watch, not just the big names, but some lower names here throughout that could be on the roster bubble that you should keep a closer eye on when you're watching these practices, and also when you're, well, the one practice that the Eagles actually made available to the fans, and also when the preseason hits, players to watch that are going to be backups but could be key to the Eagles' future, but key right now if certain injuries happen on the 53-man roster. And then a couple other things to watch here as training camp gets underway. So it's our final podcast until training camp officially starts now. It's going to be not that long, in a few hours. We'll have Doug Peterson talking to the media tomorrow, I believe Carson Wentz as well. Man, the season is here, guys. So excited to get this going on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Eagles because, like I said, 4 to 5 shows a week. Get that downloaded into your phone. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play the Locked On Eagles podcast, or you can find them on our desktop, lockedoneagles.com. Before we get into some positional battles and some players to watch here for training camp, got to get into some news here. There is a certain Eagle that is in the news today, and also there was an extension for a certain wide receiver that I think impacts the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll start here with the Eagles news. Cornerback Ronald Darby will start off training camp and the summer on the PUP list. This is expected. Most Eagles reporters had already known this to be the case. The national media reported today officially that Darby will be placed on the PUP. There is still a chance that he can start week one. For me, I've said it time and time again, with the contract they gave him where he can make up to $8-9 million, he is going to play when he's healthy. The good thing now, though, is this gives Sidney Jones, this gives Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, Cravion LeBlanc the opportunity to continue to get reps with the first team like they did throughout minicamp, because not only Darby was injured, but so was Jalen Mills. That's a huge advantage for them to impress Jim Schwartz, hopefully. So that could convince them, yes, while when Darby comes back, he's going to get his job, but hey, maybe Jalen Mills doesn't get his if Sidney Jones shows the promise that, made the Eagles want to take him in the second round. And Rasul Douglas picks back up where he left off last year with an incredible final, you know, week 12 up until that final game, the divisional round against the Saints. I mean, was incredibly promising. So, or, you know, at the same time, if they decide that they want to push maybe both guys in, if Maddox plays at safety, we'll get into all the secondary stuff later on. But for now, it looks like Darby will still be recovering from this torn ACL, and that does give more opportunities for the young guys. But don't expect two players to steal outside jobs. I think I'm awfully skeptical that Mills won't be a starter when healthy, but that job at least I think is up for grabs, even if it's in favor of Jalen Mills. Whereas with Ronald Darby, when he's healthy, even if it's not week one, it looks like there's still a good chance that he will play week one against the Redskins. If not, when he's healthy, he's going to come back. The Eagles are high on him, and that's why, you know, on a prove-it deal, it was a one-year great bargain. Who knows if they want to bring him back long-term, but, I mean, they traded a third-round pick and Jordan Matthews for him, so they think highly of him. So does Jim Schwartz, who coached him in Buffalo, but he will start off training camp on the PUP list. Another little bit of news here in the NFL today that I thought was very relevant to the Eagles, even though it wasn't pertaining directly to the Eagles, was Tyler Boyd signing a four-year, $43 million deal with the Cincinnati Bengals. So it's, you know, roughly give or take, he's making $10-plus million, but it's at the same time, it's not this crazy $12, $13, $14 million a year contract for a predominantly slot wide receiver, but at the same time, a slot receiver that was extremely productive last year, a breakout year in the slot. When A.J. Green went down, Tyler Boyd had over 1,000 yards in 2018, a guy that I really liked coming out of Pitt. And I think this impacts Aguilar for sure, because that's kind of the money I think you're going to look at for Nelson Aguilar. Tyler Boyd and Aguilar, I would say, are in the same tier of wide receiver. Really productive guys, but mostly they're going to play inside. So that's not going to really make them the big ticket guys on the outside where they're going to cash in on these crazy contracts, but at the same time, they're going to get, you know, double-digit money. And that's, you know, like I've said throughout the winter time when we were discussing should the Eagles keep Nelson Aguilar after this year on that $9.5 million fifth-year option, I kept saying that's really not that much for a wide receiver anymore. And that's why, you know, on paper, a four-year, $43 million deal for a slot receiver may seem like a lot, but $10, $11 million is not really that much anymore for a wide receiver of Tyler Boyd's capabilities and Nelson Aguilar's. And for me, I'll take that contract with Aguilar. If he's looking for, you know, $12-plus million, that'll be tough. But if the Eagles can still find a way to get him on a 9 to, you know, I don't know. We'll see with where the guarantees are and backloading if they are interested in bringing him back. But if it's, you know, in the $9 to $11 million range, I would still very much like to keep a young, productive wide receiver on the inside that's big on third downs and fourth downs and down the field. I would still really like to keep Aguilar. And I know some people are going to say, yeah, they drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second round. For me, Arcega-Whiteside just gives you optionality. I think with him, he could replace any of the three wide receivers in a couple years. It could be Aguilar immediately, and he could be that big slot receiver that I think can create separation on the inside, or he could eventually be the new Alshon Jeffery. Alshon Jeffery, I hope they keep him long-term still, but he's got a $14 million cap hit coming up. Who knows what they're thinking about that? I would hope that they intend on keeping him around. But maybe it's DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's already in his mid-30s in a year or two. Who knows? Arcega-Whiteside can be that outside guy with Alshon on the opposing side, and you do retain Nelson Aguilar. So I thought it was interesting that Boyd got that kind of contract, because I think that's going to be something similar. If the Eagles want to keep Nelson Aguilar, it will be in that ballpark. And for me, I don't think it's that crazy. I think I'd be willing to give him that deal, give him some front-loaded stuff, backload the cap hits, make it, you know, enticing for him. He's a team player. He really seems like he enjoys being in Philadelphia, and he's a selfless kind of guy. So I don't think, you know, not having a lot of targets is something that he's come from the bottom up. He has come a long way in just a few years. So I think he would be open to staying regardless of all the weapons they have, and I think he'd be willing to do it on a deal kind of like this. So we'll see what happens with Aguilar down the road. I still expect probably the Eagles to move on because they want to get Arcega-Whiteside on the field, but don't let JJ's presence deter you from thinking it's still possible that Nelly does come back after this year, because I do think Arcega Whiteside could be the eventual replacement for any of the three. All right, so that's the news for the day pertaining to the Eagles. Ronald Darby on the PUP and Tyler Boyd getting a contract, 4 years, $43 million, annually about $10.7 million. That's the ballpark I think that Nelson Agholor will require if the Eagles want to keep him. And you know, when you look at what receivers are going to get paid now, Michael Thomas wants to get $20 million a year. I don't think $10 million is a whole lot for Agholor, and I think both sides would be willing to keep him in Philly, but at the same time, with Arcega Whiteside here, it does make things interesting for sure, because while he's not a slot guy, they didn't draft Arcega Whiteside to be the eventual slot receiver replacing Agholor. He's going to be a outside receiver eventually. I do think he could do it, though, for sure. And DeSean Jackson has made a lot of plays on the inside, specifically with Tampa Bay last year. And, you know, Alshon Jeffrey can do it. They have two tight ends to play in that spot as well. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. But if they do pay Agholor, look at that Tyler Boyd deal, because I think those two, while, you know, I think Agholor in Cincinnati's offense last year without A.J. Green could get 1,000 yards. The numbers aren't going to look as great for Agholor compared to Boyd, but I think those two are definitely in the same tier, and maybe some people would even prefer Agholor because he has that down-the-field ability that I think Boyd lacks more, so he's more of a possession receiver compared to Nelly. So interesting stuff around the news in the NFL today. We're going to take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I'm going to get into the key positional battles here to keep a close eye on for Eagles training camp. While there's not a lot of crazy starting positions open up for grabs, there are some spots that are pretty important to the roster. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. All right, Locked On Eagles listeners, welcome back in. Close that door behind you. It's time now for your quick training camp preview on this training camp eve as the Eagles officially get underway tomorrow, Wednesday, July 24th. Here are some battles to keep an eye on. So, no, the starting quarterback job is not up for grabs. It's Carson Wentz is gig for now probably the next 10, hopefully 12 years of this Eagles team. The running back spot, the starter, and pretty much the top three now are pretty set with Howard, Sanders, and either Sproles or Clement. The defensive line looks pretty good with their starters, wide receiver, tight end. There isn't a lot of starting positions open. Of course, cornerback is the big one to keep a close eye on because there's six guys battling for that job, and it not only impacts this year, but it's also going to impact the future what they do, because if they do go with Mills and Darby, does that mean that they don't trust those other guys next year when Mills and Darby are up for free agency? And does that mean they're going to extend Mills and Darby if they end up going with Sidney Jones or Rasul Douglas over Mills? Does that mean they let him walk? So the cornerback position, there's a lot riding on this summer, not only with this season, but also future implications as well. Some other positions, though, that do have battles along the depth of the roster. Quarterback is one. The backup quarterback job, while it is Nate Sudfeld's to lose, Cody Kessler, a former third-round pick in his own right, does have a lot of reps in the NFL the past couple years with the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has done some good things. He's shown a little bit of promise that he can make plays out on the field. He's never had a weapon core much like the Eagles. So if, you know, they have to go to someone, could Kessler still potentially be an option, considering Sudfeld has only played in limited snaps in that Week 17 game against Dallas in 2017? And then, of course, against Washington last year, Week 17. So he's played two regular season games, and then that one snap against the Houston Texans on that final drive when Foles had to go out for a play when he absolutely got licked by Jadeveon Clowney. Don't forget Clayton Thorson, a guy the Eagles take in the fifth round, the first quarterback they select in the draft since Carson Wentz. He has a lot of raw ability that I like. I like his arm strength. I like the touch he can put on the deep ball. And in a pretty pro quarterback friendly offense with Doug Peterson as your head coach and with all these weapons and Carson Wentz helping you out, and even a Nate Sudfeld who has learned from Carson Wentz and Nick Foles the past couple years, maybe Clayton Thorson isn't a favorite to win the backup job, but Clayton Thorson himself is going to be battling for a spot. He might be able to convince the Eagles to keep a third quarterback and not have it be Cody Kessler. I still think Sudfeld is going to win the backup job. I love what he showed in the preseason last year. Once again, I think it's so valuable that for the past few years, he's just been learning from Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, John DeFilippo, and I think he is going to show it on the field this year. Hopefully, it's just in the preseason that hopefully he instills a little bit of trust, because we're all so used to having Nick Foles as the backup quarterback, a Super Bowl MVP as your backup quarterback, that now we're going to have to come back down to earth when it comes to backup quarterbacks. But I still think Sudfeld will show the promise enough to beat out Kessler. It's his job to lose. He's been in the system for a few years now. They believe in him. But that is a job to keep a close eye on, because if Sudfeld does struggle and Kessler kind of shows that reliability, that might convince the Eagles to go with Cody Kessler, and maybe they still keep Sudfeld as the third guy, but it's going to be an interesting battle. And I'm very interested to see what Clayton Thorson can do under this coaching staff and with these weapons on training camp and in the preseason. So backup quarterback is definitely a battle to keep an eye on, because there is no more Nick Foles behind Carson Wentz. And look, Carson Wentz, as much as I don't think the guy is injury prone, with back injuries, you never know when those can re-injure themselves. So having a good backup quarterback is something that it'll just give you a lot of peace of mind for sure. And I think Sudfeld is very capable. And once again, having as many weapons in this offense as Philadelphia does will definitely make the job easier for one of these guys, that they don't have to just take over and do everything for this offense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at backup quarterback for sure. Definitely a step down from Foles, but I'm very confident in Sudfeld. I'm very interested in the prospects of Clayton Thorson, and if he or Kessler can convince the Eagles to, you know, keep a third quarterback instead of, let's say, a fifth running back or something like that. We'll see if what kind of happens here, but I think Nate Sudfeld should be the favorite to win the backup job behind Carson Wentz. A few other ones on offense here, I think it's definitely the fourth, and I would say more so a fifth running back. It's kind of the same as Sudfeld, Kessler, Thorson, hopefully showing enough for their sakes to convince the Eagles to keep a third quarterback. I think the same now is the case for the Eagles' backfield when it comes to Wendell Smallwood, Josh Adams, and Boston Scott. I think Corey Clement's job is safe for sure. I don't know if he's going to be able to beat out Sproles as that third running back. I think, honestly, Sproles is going to dip into Miles Sanders' touches as running back two. So I think Corey's probably going to be that fourth option. If there's injuries, I think, you know, to Sanders or to Howard, then he would take over instead of Darren Sproles. But with his kick returning ability as well, Clement's job is safe as the fourth running back, I would assume. Then it comes down to, can Josh Adams get back to what he was showing in the middle of last year? Can Wendell Smallwood find a way once again to convince this team that he belongs on the roster? One of my favorite things about Eagles Twitter right now are the Wendell Smallwood jokes, how it's 2042 and he's still found a way to be on the Eagles roster. Or, you know, a Boston Scott. I think it's a lot harder for Scott now because Sproles is back. If Sproles was not in Philadelphia, Boston Scott could make the case that he is that change of pace running back with explosive ability as a receiver and also as a returner. But with Sproles back now and the abilities of Miles Sanders and Clement in the return game, specifically with kick returns, because now Sproles is your punt returner with DeSean Jackson sprinkled in there as well, that job, I feel like the door is closed on that now for Boston Scott. A couple other ones here. I mean, the one that's interesting on defense, there's a few. The one that makes a huge difference is the third safety. The third safety plays, because the other one that is a battle in training camp is going to be that third linebacker. I think it's pretty clear that Nigel Bradham and Zach Brown are your starting linebackers. Then can Kamu Grugier-Hill hold off LJ Fort? You know, Paul Worlow is a popular name still for some reason, and I think it may be because of Jim Schwartz. I think Schwartz likes him. Warlow is expected to be in the race as well in base packages to be that third linebacker. To me, I think Camus is going to be the guy. I think he's strong in coverage. But again, that position is not nearly as important as it used to be because most defenses now are going towards predominantly three safeties. And the Eagles have some options. Trey Sullivan's going to be in the race. Blake Countess, Andrew Sandejo. But don't rule out Avante Maddox here to potentially switch positions. I know a lot of people love how he played on the outside last year. Down the stretch, he was incredible on the outside at corner. He was also very strong in the slot. That is where he played mostly throughout minicamp. It was Maddox in the slot as the first team slot corner with Sidney Jones on the outside and Rasul Douglas. But Maddox started last year at safety when Ronnie McLeod went down, and I really like his prospects as a safety. I think he's a really good tackler. I think he's got a nose for the football, nose for turnovers coming downhill. He's athletic, great quick changes of direction, you know, flip of the hips, getting back and forth from field to field when they only have one safety deep and they're roaming Malcolm Jenkins around the line of scrimmage. I think having that speed and athleticism that he has is very important. And Paul Domowicz of the Philadelphia Inquirer actually told me on Twitter today that he thinks Maddox is a long-term safety there because Ronnie McLeod is likely done in Philadelphia after this year. So maybe they decide, hey, we want to just get, and for me, this is my logic. I would much rather have Avante Maddox in another corner out there. I'd rather have the ability to get both Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones out there, or Jalen Mills, and then get Sidney Jones out there, or Cravion LeBlanc. Having a third, you know, having, instead of having Avante Maddox in the slot, right, and then you have another starting outside corner opposite Darby, you move Maddox to safety, so now Trey Sullivan doesn't have to be out there. You can cut Andrew Sandejo and, you know, have a better chance of getting that fourth-round compensatory draft pick. And just for me, straight up, I think Maddox and one of those other corners on the field is a better situation because they're both better players than Avante Maddox and, say, Sandejo being out there or Countess or Trey Sullivan. So for me, if it was up to me, I really like the idea of Maddox being that third safety. And actually, the Eagles safety coach even said that they're going to roll through it through the summer. After the second or third preseason game, they said they would decide whether to move Maddox to safety or not. So I didn't think it was something they would actually consider, considering how good he played at corner down the stretch last year. But it seems like the Eagles are seriously considering moving Maddox to that third safety position and maybe the heir apparent to Ronnie McLeod. That will definitely be an interesting battle to keep an eye on. So Maddox, to me, is the choice. I think the favorites, though, right now, I think Trey Sullivan had a very promising end of the season and significant snaps in huge games. You know, he was playing a lot in that run to make the playoffs and then in the playoffs as well. So Trey Sullivan is probably the dark horse if they don't move Maddox. Sendejo is probably the favorite. But once again, if you can get a fourth-round draft pick by cutting Andrew Sendejo, for me, that's a no-brainer. And I would much rather have a fourth-round pick and Trey Sullivan as your third safety or Maddox or Blake Countess than keeping Sendejo. He's a good veteran that's a proven starter with Minnesota for a long time, but he is not worth losing a fourth-round compensatory draft pick, if you ask me. And then, you know, we talked about third linebacker. That'll be one to keep a close eye on. But the other one on defense, too, here, heading into training camp, is the fourth defensive end. Because, you know, it was Josh Sweat and Sharif Miller. The job is theirs for the taking. Both fourth-round picks the past 2 years with a lot of upside. But at the same time, Connor Barwin is waiting in the wings. The Eagles told Barwin that they want to wait through the first couple weeks of training camp to see what they have in their young guys, a.k.a. Sweat and Miller. They want to see if they can rely on those two as part of the rotation, as that defensive end four. And if not, they will bring in Connor Barwin. And I think one of those two will show that they can really apply that upside that made them fourth-round picks. They both are very explosive off the line of scrimmage. I mean, I almost said Clowney because, and I say it time and time again, Josh Sweat just looks like Jadeveon Clowney out there. He has all the physical tools. There was a lot of draft analysts that thought he could have been the steal of the draft for the Eagles in 2018, getting him in the fourth round out of Florida State. So those two, they need to prove that they can be that fourth guy behind Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, and Vinny Curry, or else the Eagles might consider bringing back Connor Barwin. And I think you guys know how I feel about that. I'm not really crazy about making Barwin that fourth defensive end. I think they already have really good run-stopping edge rushers. He is not going to be someone that replaces Chris Long and Michael Bennett's pass-rushing productivity. He is that production for him has dipped significantly the past few years, and really outside of that 14 sack season in 2014, that's never really been his strong suit. He's more so a 3-4 outside linebacker. I don't know if it's fair even really to only give them the first few weeks of training camp. For me, especially Sharif Miller, I mean, he's a rookie. You got to give those guys the first preseason game, the second preseason game. I would want to give them all four preseason games to see what they have. And if Connor Barwin doesn't want to wait that long, then so be it. But those guys have a lot of pressure on them heading into tomorrow. They need to have a fast start to this training camp and into the preseason to convince the Eagles that they don't need to go out there and replace them with Connor Barwin. All right, so those are some positional battles for you to keep an eye on here at Eagles training camp 2019. Here are some players to watch coming up next. This is Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll wrap up. Don't go anywhere on the other side of this break. All right, everybody, welcome back in. Locked On Eagles, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show, late night. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Probably at this time, I'd say you're driving to work listening, which is perfect. We're getting you ready for training camp, which officially starts Wednesday, and then the football season is officially underway. That's why I'm having a lot of fun doing this one. I just feel so much excitement in the air with this Eagles season. Got into some positional battles in the second segment. We got into some news with Darby on the PUP list and how the Tyler Boyd deal could eventually impact Nelson Aguilar's contract. Now I want to get into some players to watch throughout the summer to keep a close eye on. Again, these aren't, well, one is at least, but these aren't players that are going to have a huge role with the Eagles, but they're certainly players to keep an eye on for the future and also as depth, because you never know. I mean, you look at both 2017 and 2018, the Eagles suffered key injuries across the board on both offense and defense. What's interesting, though, is even with the injuries, the Eagles are still set up with how deep their roster is, that they have this luxury of upside gold mines that you don't necessarily need on the field right away. And those players, there's three guys I really want to watch throughout the summer. It's Sidney Jones, it's Jordan Mailata, and it's Josh Sweat. We talked about Jones in the cornerback position. We talked about Josh Sweat and that fourth defensive end spot that's really his for the taking. He's got to hold off Sharif Miller and also the eventual signing of Connor Barwin if he does not impress. But it's an awesome situation for the Eagles, because you look at all three of these guys, and of course Sidney Jones was going to be a top 15 pick if he didn't tear his Achilles at his Washington Pro Day in 2016. He did not allow a single touchdown in coverage at Washington. So here's that guy with, you know, a ceiling that is very high at the cornerback position. Jordan Mailata never even played football outside of last year. He comes in last year and improves incredibly throughout the summer. Baldy said from NFL Network that he has never seen a football player improve over a four-month span more than Jordan Mailata did last year. He had some really good tape he put on in the preseason, specifically that game against Cleveland. I was really impressed with Mailata and Josh Sweat as well. All these guys with incredible physical gifts, these blank canvases that you can really mold into what you want, as long as, for Jones at least, he is healthy. And even if Jones doesn't play, I feel like the front office really wants him to play. I think the fans want him to play because they want to see that Washington player become the same guy in Philadelphia. But even with the cornerback position, if Sidney Jones doesn't play, if Mailata doesn't play, if Sweat doesn't play, like, they're okay. A lot of teams would be like, we got to find that upside. We got to get that upside out of them now because we're going to need them on the field. Not the case. With Sidney Jones, there's five other corners that could play ahead of him potentially. With Mailata, they drafted Andre Dillard to eventually replace Jason Peters. They have their starting five intact. They have Wisniewski playing guard. They have Halepuli Vaitai. Mailata eventually could be someone that has a big role, but they don't need him necessarily to have that role. It's awesome. It's a great luxury that there's all this upside with these three players. Sweat, too. Even if Sweat doesn't really pan out, for me, you guys know I'm not someone that's really freaking out over what's going to happen at the fourth defensive end spot. But at the same time, if they do pan out, it's incredible because the ceilings of these guys could potentially add another couple stars to this Eagles roster. So those are three players that I'm keeping a close eye on this year. Two on defense in Sidney Jones and Josh Sweat, and one in Jordan Mailata on offense that I feel like if everything goes right, if the coaches continue to mold these guys and they can show more on the field this year, specifically Sweat and Jones, because I saw significant progression from Mailata on the field last year. If that can continue with him and with these other two players, the Eagles are sitting on another couple budding stars in the making, and it's very exciting that they don't have to necessarily rely on those guys right away. So I'm keeping a close eye on those three players. I'm also very interested to see Matt Pryor and Shelton Gibson on offense. We just talked about Mailata, and yeah, he is someone that definitely could have a future role while that left tackle spot pretty much is now sealed up with Andre Dillard eventually taking over for Jason Peters. I could see Mailata as a key guy at a guard spot down the road or as that right tackle backup to Lane Johnson. But another player that's also going to need to continue to progress, and the Eagles are going to not only, of course, he needs to prolong his career, but the Eagles are going to potentially need that too, is Matt Pryor, who's another swing offensive lineman that can play both the guard and tackle spots coming out of TCU last year. He did that in the summer. He played both guard and tackle spots. He did that in college. He's going to continue to do that this year, and they're probably going to need him because you look, Wiz is probably gone after this year. He's going to be a backup to Isaac Seumalo. He might start off at right guard with Brandon Brooks being out, but that also could be Big V's spot. Speaking of Big V, he's a free agent next year, a player that was a starting left tackle on a Super Bowl team. Someone is going to pay him in free agency next year, considering really good tackles don't often hit the open market, so someone's going to overpay for him. The Eagles could potentially lose two core backups on their offensive line and also Jason Peters, so that bumps Andre Dillard up. So now, and for depth, your backup offensive lineman could be just Pryor and Mailata as the two guys you're relying on big time if there are injuries. It's why on the podcast a couple weeks ago I said Jeff Stoutland has such an important summer here in developing Mailata and Pryor, because they're probably going to have big roles with this Eagles team in the foreseeable future. So I'm definitely keeping a close eye on Matt Pryor and also Shelton Gibson. Shelton Gibson, a deep threat, crazy good speed coming out of West Virginia in 2017, had a terrible start to his NFL career with that bad rookie year. Drops, just could not. He was struggling with routes as well throughout the summer. And then last year, he has a great preseason. He and Sudfeld were clicking down the field, making big plays against the Steelers and against the Patriots. He had that big 48-yard reception against Minnesota, but outside of that one play, he was pretty much non-existent last year with the Eagles. Despite injuries at the wide receiver position early on, they were going more so in favor of, you know, a DeAndre Carter and bringing back a Jordan Matthews. So he was not able to convince the Eagles last year that he deserved a bigger role. I'm interested, though, because in the summer he was really impressive. Can he potentially beat out Mac Hollins for that fifth receiver spot? Can he hold off Mark and Michelle and Greg Ward and convince the Eagles that he can be a returner and he can continue to improve and, you know, be that another receiver prospect that maybe, you know, grows a little bit later on in his career like Aguilar did, and that convinces them enough to make him the sixth wide receiver? Who knows? But I was really high on Gibson last year with the preseason being the way it was for him. I was impressed, and he's got that unique speed that when you lose DeSean Jackson eventually, and if Nelson Aguilar leaves, yeah, you got the big bodies in Ertz, Goddard, Arcega-Whiteside, and Jeffrey, but hey, you might need a burner, and he could hopefully convince the Eagles that it's going to be him doing that instead of Mac Hollins. So those are two other players I'm very interested in seeing develop this summer for the Eagles in training camp and the preseason. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. Enjoy training camp tomorrow. We'll keep you covered. We'll be back tomorrow with CB Wars. You'll hear from us again tomorrow, but enjoy the day. It's going to be an exciting one as NFL football is finally back. Eagles hit the field for training camp at NovaCare Complex tomorrow. So that's going to do it for today's edition. As always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.